North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. It's Friday, January 10th. I'm Jack Peterson here as usual with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well for kind of a cloudy
kind of a gray one out there.
Yeah. Friday in January. And we're joined as well by Max Oswald, the sports editor for the Bonner County Daily Bee, for a little winter sports news, in addition to what else is going on around town. Good morning, Max.
Good morning. Excited to talk some sports this morning. Mm-hmm.
It's a good day. I think it's a good day for it. There is other news, of course. We'll start with what's going on locally and in our county. Here in the county, the Commissioner Ron Korn founded a Bonner County Civil Defense and Resilience Team, apparently acting as an individual. This wasn't a motion passed by the commission itself, but it did come up at the commissioner's meeting. And that will entail, I guess some county employees. It's a voluntary organization involving some county employees, Bonner County Emergency Management and Technology Departments, and Panhandle Health, as well as private citizens. There's a little controversy here. It's affiliated with the People's Rights Movement, an organization founded by Amon Bundy, who's certainly a controversial figure, to say the least, billing itself as a network of neighbors unified to defend each other's rights. So that is the that's the organization that Ron Korn has just founded here in Bonner County, kicking off the year on certainly striking a strong note for the beginning of the year before actually the new commission has not yet officially been seated, but Korn, of course, is sitting. He took former Commissioner Luke Ahmet's seat on the board when he resigned in September. That's I would say the big county news coming this week. Here in the city, things are continuing to move on the wastewater treatment plant. The wastewater treatment plant, it's been a topic of concern for years, if not decades. It was certainly highlighted by Mayor Grimm in the summer of last year as a piece of infrastructure that needed serious attention and serious investment. The city has sent a letter to the state, a letter of interest for funding for the state wastewater treatment plant, or from the state for the wastewater treatment plant. This letter was due and on January 10th, and then it opens them up, or at least puts them in consideration for state funds. The city council voted unanimously to submit that letter, and the Department of Environmental Quality State Revolving Loan Fund will be the source of the funds should Sandpoint actually end up receiving them, which is far from certain. The Albany Falls Dam meeting to talk about the failed gate is to take place today. It was rescheduled. Originally, it was going to take place yesterday due to the National Day of Mourning. For President Jimmy Carter. It will instead take place today at the Sandpoint Agricultural Center.
That's actually the Lakes Commission, right? Pretty sure that's...
Is that who it is?
The group, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the Lakes Commission will be holding that meeting today at 10 o'clock at the Sandpoint Agricultural Center. So that's just an hour or so after we get off the air here. The legislative session is open. And you can see Wednesday's recording of the morning show on our website, if you didn't happen to catch it, of Chris, your conversation with our delegation to Boise, up here in Legislative
Senator
District
Woodward 1. And Representative Souders spoke with us about what they see coming up this year in the legislature and what their own work is going to be there.
I caught that one on Wednesday and thought it was enlightening.
Yeah. It's always informative to know what they're doing down in Boise, right?
Yeah. The session is officially underway. Brad Little, the governor, gave his State of the State address on the on Monday of this week. And I happened to listen in on that. Opinions vary. I don't know if anyone else caught it. It was shorter than usual. I'll say that. I think it was only 22 minutes. Which is, I want to say, last year it seemed like he went about twice as long. So, I tightened it up, and I think kind of waiting to see what the federal government is going to do to know how the state of Idaho is going to respond, perhaps in some areas where in the past he spent more time talking. There's plenty more to say about that, but we could also talk about something else like sports, or what else? What else is in the news?
Well, the only thing I'd throw out before we get into the sports with Max here is that the Panda is having an open house this Saturday. That's the 11th, January 11th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So there's going to be people in the Panda, the main lobby there, with some plans for potentially changing the configuration of the lobby. It's an effort by the Panda to cut down on the crowding that occurs during the sold out events, the big events there when the lobby is really kind of shoulder to shoulder. It's really packed in. Part of the problem is that the concession stands there get big lines, and then there's lines going into the bathrooms and people trying to get into the main auditorium as they come in. So the Panda board is looking at ways to help alleviate that, but also respect the historic character of the lobby. They have some plans, different options, and everyone's invited to come take a look at those on Saturday. Just drop in any time between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at the Panada if you're interested in what's happening with the Panada.
That will be interesting. Yeah, Chris, I know you pay attention to what's going on over at the Panada and are involved there. I don't know. Any inside tips on what you think is going to happen?
Well, this is looking at options. One option is don't change anything. Another option is to move concessions into that northern retail space that the Panada owns, where it's where the museum was. And there's actually a door that goes in there right now. So that would be a pretty easy change to make, relatively easy. The bigger option is to do something that's been talked about for years, and that is to make a pass through into the adjacent Little Theater building, which the Panda acquired about 20 years ago, with the idea that that could be used to help alleviate the lobby crowding, but it's never come to fruition. So this might be the time that happens or not, depending on what the board decides. They're gathering public input, but they've also already had meetings with stakeholder groups and volunteers and people that are more actively involved with the Panada. And I will say that, as you might expect, the opinions on what options are best have been diverse.
Yes. Diverse. I mean, people feel very strongly about that theater. It's a community institution, and people are attached to it.
It's a really a great asset for our town.
Yeah,
but I think we should be talking about some sports now.
Let's do it. Max, are we doing winter sports? Are we wrapping up fall sports? Where are we, I guess, in the Idaho high school and for that matter college calendar?
Yeah, I think we're at a winter sports point. We're actually about halfway through the winter season, believe it or not. So come about mid-February, we'll already be in state championship territory for some teams, at least districts for some as well. But yeah, early March is kind of all said and done for winter sports, so we're getting there.
Wow.
Maybe start off with some basketball, of course, kind of the main sport, I guess you could say. But wrestling's really big too, so we'll get into that. We've had some great wrestling performances locally. Sandpoint girls basketball with a big win over Moscow last night. That was at home here at Les Rogers Court, and they beat Moscow 55-37, so by 10 more points than they did last time they faced Moscow. So a good wire-to-wire performance for Coach Love and his Bulldogs. They're 7-7 on the year and arguably have faced, they have the toughest schedule possibly in the entire state. I mean, they're coming off four losses, so it's a nice bounce back win for them. And, you know, they're facing Shelley, who was 25-0 last year and won the state title. Mm-hmm. And then they're facing Skyline all last week. Skyline, who faced Shelley in that state championship match last year. And now Saturday, they host Ridgeline here at Sandpoint High, who's 8-2 on the year from Spokane Valley. So, yeah, girls basketball looking strong so far, and you know, stay in touch with those Lady Bulldogs. Think they can make a run at state this year.
Through the when do the district games start?
Districts will be, I believe, the last game for the girls of this season. You know, the schedules change pretty often, but it looks to be a bit. The 4th, and then the following week districts will start, and I believe the
4th of February. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the boys are about 2 weeks after that. So a lot of people wonder why the weeks are, why the districts are staggered 2 weeks, or the seasons between boys and girls basketball. It's because football always ends later. I always have to remind people of that. On the boys' side, sampling boys basketball, they're 2-7 on the year, both wins coming over Priest River. But, you know, again, Sandpoint really likes to play some of the hardest teams. And, you know, you open up the season with Bonner's Ferry, who's 11-0, ranked first in 4A right now. And then you head down to Lewiston and face Kendrick, who was state runner-up in 2A. And they were state champions the year before that. Then you head down to Phoenix. You're facing schools from Washington, Ohio, California. And, I mean, these schools are no joke. So Sandpoint's boys have played a really tough schedule so far, but things will get a little easier, but not by too much. Lewiston is 10-1, and Lewiston is now in the Inland Empire League in 5A, so they'll be the favorite this year for districts. But you know, Sandpoint's a really big team. We have a couple 6'7" guys, a 6'6" guy too. So never know with high school boys basketball, but. And Lewiston, of course, their only loss is to Bonner's Ferry. And,
Lewiston lost to Bonner's Ferry?
Yeah, so, you know, we'll talk about Bonner's Ferry a little bit here. Asher Williams, senior, he's a Montana Tech commit. Actually, the head coach of Montana Tech is a Bonner's Ferry alum, Adam Hyatt. He graduated 1996, and I believe that's a big reason why he may have went there. He scored 45 points the other night versus Libby. They won 95-40, 45 points the school record for Bonner's Ferry, beating out Jeff Nearing, who had 43. Don't have a graduation date for him, but I believe it was a long while ago. And Bonner's Ferry, 11-0. As it looks right now from their schedule, they have a really good chance of going undefeated. They do face Lake City and Coeur d'Alene, but you know, as it looks on paper, those are very even matchups, which, you know, it's kind of like Bonner's Ferry versus Coeur d'Alene, even. You know, they're exceptionally talented, and they won state last year, and I think they have an extremely good shot to do it again.
Do you have some big kids?
You know, they do have a really tall team for 4A. You know, junior Sule Abubakari, he's about 6'6", and everyone on their team. I think Brody Rice is, you know, he's an all-conference senior. He might be the smallest player at 5'10", 6', 5'11". He's a, you know, they have a lot of really good players. They have a sophomore, Peyton Hinthorn, who he was a six-team, what's it called, six-man of the year award at state last year. He's kind of moved into that starting role and had a big effect on the team. And, you know, Thomas Bateman, he scores about 20 plus a game. So, yeah, great basketball up in Bonner's Ferry.
Is that usually a pretty strong basketball team, the Bonner's Ferry boys team?
You know, last year was the first year they won the state championship. Mm-hmm. And so historically, no, but in recent years, yes. They've been, you know, they beat Sandpoint by 36. And then they're down in at the Avista Holiday Tournament at Lewis Clark State College. They open it up with a 58-55 win over undefeated Lewiston. They beat Moscow 66-50 in the semis. And then in the championship, they're up against Clarkston. I mean, Clarkston's not a small area either by any means. They won it 74-27.
Wow.
So
those guys are on fire.
Yeah, their average win margin this year is roughly around 36 points a game.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Pretty cool.
Just curious, do you make it up to the Bonner's Ferry games at all, or just the follow them remotely, I guess you'd say?
You know, I follow them remotely. Mm-hmm. I did do their winter sports preview this year for the Herald, but we do have a reporter up there, a new guy named Ned Newton, and he's really into basketball, and he's really good at it too. So really good writing about it. So he does the girls and boys. I believe the girls are a little over 500, but I'm not sure of their exact record at the moment. They just lost to Thompson Falls the other night by 4.
I was wondering just kind of how does the town of Bonner's Ferry, how does the school, you know, the student body, do they turn out for these games? Championship caliber basketball team.
I was up there for the season opener against Sandpoint, and it was packed. And then actually an article in the Lewiston Tribune had mentioned that their fan base traveled so well. You know, you would think almost it was a home game down at Lewis Clark State College. Like, the fans were loud and into it, and that was noted. So, yeah, really into it up there. Mm. And I would be too.
Yeah.
I mean, I am myself, even down here in Sandpoint.
So. Uh-huh. We all are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're on a roll. You know, how about Priest River?
Yeah. So actually, Priest River has some really good teams this year. The boys are 8-2 right now, with both of their losses coming to Sandpoint, who, I mean, you know, Priest River, a much smaller area. They're in 3A, actually ranked 5th in the state in the latest media poll. You know, they're under head coach Kevin Wiley, who comes back after he actually used to be the mayor in Priest River. And back in 2021, he ended his long coaching stint when he became mayor. Now he's back as head coach, and they look good. I mean, I knew it was going to be a good year for them. They returned pretty much their entire starting lineup, but they have a tall team. They're well coached, and they're going to do some big things this year. I don't know if they're the favorite. You know, believe it or not, who's ranked 4th in the state right now is St. Mary's, who's in the 3A Central Idaho League with Priest River. So I believe we'll see them too, duking it out for the league title this year. Another great team to follow. And I make it over there when I can. Last night they played Clark Fork, won by 31. Clark Fork only has about 7-6 players healthy on any given night this year. But Priest River, they look good, and the girls too. The girls are 8-3, and they're also receiving votes in the media polls as one of the top teams in the state. And they just beat Newport the other night by 3. We're down by 8 with 5 minutes to go in the third, and came up with a 16-4 run to close it out. And man, they look good. They beat Riverside 79-34 the other night. So they beat Riverside by about 10 earlier in the year. They come out, beat them by 45 earlier this week. Desi Humphrey, she has 29 points and 8 three-pointers, 11 steals.
Wow.
And then you got Lizzie McCracken, both seniors. She had 24 points and 5 three-pointers. I mean, they couldn't miss. It was unreal.
Both seniors, are these college prospects?
You know, very well could be. Lots of seniors on these teams. And as we've seen in recent years, Priest River has had a lot of athletes going to the next level. There's actually about six or seven on the next level right now. A lot of soccer players, but most notably at the moment, we got Matthias McLean at the University of Idaho. He's played football at Priest River. And then Teagan Holy Cross, I believe, is still at Montana for track and field. So, oh, always some good prospects in Priest River.
Any since we have you on the record, any big predictions for either boys or girls basketball on the as the season starts to close out? Any who do you like in the state tournament?
And yeah, the,
yeah.
You know, I like Bonner's Ferry in the 4A state tournament. Snake River is going to be tough for them to beat, but you know, as they look right now, I don't know if anyone's stopping them. But Snake River is definitely a really good team. That's a team you got to watch out for. I know American Falls is pretty good too. I'm actually not even sure where American Falls is, but you know, all South those teams are all over the place.
South, and I think in the east part of the state too.
Okay.
You know, the girls off a heartbreaking season last year, they were 20-5 Sandpoint's girls, and Lakeland ended up getting the bid. And Lakeland actually did pretty well at the state tournament last year, and we just lost to Lakeland 60-50 the other night. Lakeland looks strong. You know, I think when Sandpoint wasn't fully healthy in that game, I think when they're at 100% health, it comes down to the last shot. So I think that district championship on the girls' side this year should be pretty close. As it goes for on the boys' side in the 5A and Lynn Empire League, I think Lewiston's the favorite. And I think Lewiston could honestly get to the championship match this year in 5A, coming down from 6A. And a lot of people have their opinions about that in itself, if Lewiston should even be in 5A now. Because, you know, Lewiston, a lot bigger area than Moscow even and Sandpoint, so... I think Priest River boys have a really good shot to win that district. The girls will have a tough time with Grangeville on the Priest River side, but yeah, should be it should be a great. I could see a lot of teams going to the postseason from around here. You know,
yeah.
The thing about around here is that the sports, at least in the last year that I've been here, have been phenomenal. So it's been fun to write. I mean, you even have Clark Fork girls last night. So they lose to Selkirk of Ione, Washington. That's about, an hour and a half north of Newport. They lose to them by 43 earlier in the season. So I get the text last night from head coach Chris Kavanaugh. He's been an assistant there for a long time, but it's his first year as head coach. And they only lost by 5. So, I mean, huge improvement. Yeah. And then Hannah Thompson, I know she had 29 in a win over Kootenai that I was at a couple weeks ago. And then she followed that up last night with 32 points. She's a senior over there in Clark Fork. Had her as the Daily B Athlete of the Week a couple weeks ago. Yeah, they look pretty good. They're about 4-7, but they look good. They could be a sleeper. They're in 2A now. So they were in 1A D2, so they actually moved up classification. So it'll be tough. The boys are 0-5. Like I said, they've actually only had 5 healthy players for some games this year, had to cancel 2. So, you know, I think they'll get their first win this Tuesday at Mullen. They have a couple really good players, notably Owen Howard. He's had 4 double-doubles in 5 games. And the only reason he didn't have a double-double last night is because he missed the second half due to, I think he had a little bit of a knee injury that, you know, don't want to lose him for the season. So sat out the second half in what was kind of a blown open game at halftime. Was 32-12. So
Go ahead.
Because well, I have to run down some wrestling quick.
That's what I was going to say. What about wrestling?
Got to start with senior Jordan Tyler over at Sandpoint, and they go down to Raleigh Lane. This is the first time Sandpoint's able to get down the Raleigh Lane. They tried to go there during COVID, didn't happen. They tried to go there last year, didn't happen. And now they finally go down there for the first time in school history. And Raleigh Lane, biggest invitational in the Pacific Northwest, most competitive, most would say much harder than an Idaho State Championship. So Jordan Tyler goes down there, 190-pound weight class. He goes 6-0. He defeats 3 defending state champions, including the one he lost to in the state championship last year, to win the 190-pound weight class at Raleigh Lane. And he's someone that's probably getting a lot of college looks right now. He's 18-1 on the year, with 14 of those wins coming by pin. So he's been
who's
really
the one
big
he
story.
Lost to?
He lost to Seth Martin of Post Falls. And if you know anything about Post Falls wrestling, Post Falls is dominant. So that's a really quality loss. And and he lost to him in the championship of Tri-State, which is at North Idaho College. And some also believe Tri-State itself to be harder than the state, state championship run. So
yeah.
Seth Martin was the defending 6A state champion at, I forget what weight, but one of the upper weights there. And pretty impressive story. He was a Daily B Athlete of the Week this week. And, Sandpoint's boys finished 13th out of 93 teams at that tournament. It'll be tough for them to beat Lakeland this year in the district, but we did beat Lewiston at a duel earlier this year. I think we're pretty handily in front of Moscow. But Lakeland, another historically strong wrestling program. That'll be the test this year. How close can we get to Lakeland? Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of good freshmen this year. Zach Wood, Ty Wood, the Holman. There's a trio of Holman brothers on the team, Jackson, Daniel, and John, and a couple other really good wrestlers have come up. Charlie Becker is looking strong this year. So is William Bamba in heavyweight. He's looking really good. So, yeah, Sandpoint boys should have a really strong close to the season, and they'll be back in action this Friday, or I guess today. Today and Saturday at Post Falls at the River City Duels.
Okay.
How about the girls?
Yeah, we got to touch on girls. I mean, Sandpoint girls wrestling, 6th out of 81 teams at Raleigh Lane, and they're only losing to really, really big schools. I think Wasatch of Heber City, Utah won it all, and you got schools from Sparks, Nevada, I think. I forget what their school name is called, but, outside of Reno there, pretty big schools coming down to that tournament, and for Sandpoint to get 6th, really impressive. Sylvia Becker, a senior at Sandpoint at 165 pounds, she gets a 5th place medal. That is no joke. And then you got Lily Marti in heavyweight. She's a junior. She grabs a 6th place finish. And then Sandpoint actually has so many girls on their team that they're able to, a lot of girls worked out of the consolation brackets, getting 3-4 wins. I know Bea Radigan and Izzy Stark had 3 wins in the championship rounds to begin the tournament. They're so deep that they were able to put together so many points, even with no champions or third placers. And they're a favorite to win the all-district wrestling title this year. So how it works in girls wrestling is all the classifications are combined into one district in North Idaho. So, like Post Falls, Lake City, Coeur d'Alene, Bonner's Ferry, Priest River, they're all in one district. So Bonner's Ferry actually, Lewiston won it once. It's only happened 3 years now for the official all districts. And Lewiston won it once. Bonner's Ferry won it last year. Looks like it's Sandpoint's turn this year. At least they're the favorite. That's for sure.
Those are the only high school sport, winter sports is basketball and wrestling, right?
Yeah.
And everything else is other. There is no hockey in the state of Idaho, at least not at the high school level.
No.
Are they doing hockey at the new pond skating rink?
They are doing some stick and puck, they're calling it. I think it's about once a week. I think it's Thursdays. I'm not sure. I don't know if you guys were able to see that article in the Daily B, but there were some complaints about
noise,
the noise.
There's residents nearby say that they're playing the music too loud, right?
Yeah, I heard they said that the reverberation of the puck may have caused a loud noise, from what I know about hockey, and I've been to a lot of hockey games, unless you have a really talented adult player up there taking some really hard shots, I don't know how loud it can be. I don't know. I don't want to. Uh-huh. It could be loud. I don't know.
I thought it was mostly the music.
The music is the music was the big thing for sure.
So,
hey, if we have some time, Jack, I could go over some college athletes quick for you.
We got a couple minutes here.
We're over, but I don't object if you
We start 5 minutes late.
I got it all in my head. We'll start off with Brandon Casey, 2020 alum of Sandpoint, and he was recently named a second team All-American and All-American Honorable Mention for his efforts on the University of Montana offensive line, and he's had 44 career starts for the Grizz, and kind of a remarkable story in itself is that he's you know, in the college landscape and what it is today, he stayed with the Grizz for his whole career. He just also received the Paul Westcamp Award, which is an award that's given out to offensive linemen for specific to the University of Montana. He also just received some academic honors, I believe, as well. So big storyline there. I'll be keeping tabs on him. Could see him in the NFL. Could see him on Sundays. So he very much could be the next NFL player from Sandpoint. A lot of pressure. A lot of pressure to put on someone.
Yeah. How big is he?
He's about 6'6", 305, 310.
Okay.
He's listed at 305.
He's NFL size then, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, making 44 career starts for one of the top FCS teams in the country, that's no joke. A lot of FCS players do go on to play in the NFL. So, his predecessor, Dylan Cook, is a starting offensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. So, that's fun. And, you know, actually, it's been a while since a lot of the colleges have been on fall or winter break now. So I've been doing a lot of the academic honors in the paper, and you know, there's been some other big things. Of course, they're going to escape my mind right now. There is about 70 on the next level right now between Bonner and Boundary. I keep up with every single one of them, and there are six coaches. We could go with a coach. Priest River alum Taylor Stewart. She graduated in 2010. She is the one who helped bring home the first girls basketball state title to Priest River. She is the head coach of Columbia Basin College Volleyball. She just finished out a 27-6 season for the Hawks of Columbia Basin. And she's really turned. Columbia Basin's been strong historically, but yeah, she's coached that team to some, I don't know if new heights is the word, but, you know, high level coaching. And third year in a row that they've made the NWAC Elite Eight, and the NWAC has 32 teams in it. So it's about 6-7 coaches on the next level. So I keep up with them as well in the Daily B.
Cool. One more thing, mountain sports, snow sports. This is a big year for snow up at Schweitzer. Are you covering that? What's going on up there in terms of competition and not just recreation?
Up at Schweitzer, I'm not sure of the competitions this year, but I did a story in today's Daily B. Got a nice press release from Team Snowboard Northwest, and that's local snowboarders and skiers in the area. I should say free skiers. And they go to competitions all over the place, and slope style, rail jam, all that stuff, and free ski. They were just over at the Big Sky Resort, about an hour and a half south of Bozeman, and a lot of them placed among the top five in their respective age groups over in Big Sky. So, fun to follow them. Team Snowboard Northwest it is. I know they're next. They'll be back at Big Sky Resort on the 25th, and then they'll be in Whitefish on February 15th. And I'll follow them, put in their results and scores and places, and they're always sending me some really good photos. So it's always fun to see those action shots of a half pipe or something like that, and or just, a downhill ski, always fun to see, and always willing to put that stuff in the Daily B.
Are there any major organized competitions for ski or snowboard that take this might be a question for Chris that take place up at Schweitzer?
They have an active ski racing program,
the SARS.
And
do they host races with
areas that come here and bring their big groups of kids and if you're up on the mountain, you'll see a lot of racers that they mark off certain runs for the races.
I know they have the junior ski series as well, so I'm hoping to get the results of those. They have the I'm not sure what ages those are, but they have the junior ski series, which I know they try and do through the North Idaho Sports Mountain Sports Fund, something like that. Long name, but
okay. Good, great winter sports update here, Max.
You give us some teams to watch.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay,
and pay attention to those Badgers up in Bonner's Ferry. You know, they're a big team to watch out for. And even though we're down here in Sandpoint, I mean that's something that really has me interested.
Yeah, they're part of our turf.
I'll be putting their scores in the Daily B next day. So if you're looking for Bonner's Ferry recaps next day, the Badgers, it'll be in the Daily B.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That'll do it. We'll call that a day. We'll be back next week with more. I'm just going to read what's coming up on KRFY over, let's see, next week we've got on the morning show rebroadcast about our history of Schweitzer from the Community Character Hour. The 20th anniversary of the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness is on Tuesday, January 14th. There'll be a show about that, and you, Chris, and Susie are doing a little city talk with Mayor Jeremy Grimm and Holly Ellis, the new Public Works Director,
next Wednesday. Yeah, we'll get a chance to meet the new Public Works Director. Hot topic, of course.
Indeed.
Fixing our streets and taking care of infrastructure. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've got the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society on Thursday next week, and the news on Friday. Mm-hmm. We'll see what else transpires. And with that, we'll return to Otto's Eclectic Mix. Bird Note comes on at 9 o'clock. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. Thank you, Max.
Absolutely.